Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Oh, and by the way, for the record, we do other things besides dental insurance. We're out there in the community. We also have a vision product called Delta Vision. We also are the sole owner of an organization called Combined Services, which allows us to do flexible benefits administration, as well as, you know, group life insurance and so forth. So we're out there in the community, and of course, the radio show gives me an opportunity to focus on community partners as well as some of the exciting things that are going on in my world. So in the dental world, we have a great new program called Health Through Oral Wellness. And last week I had Heather Brown, who is a registered dental hygienist and the manager of the HOW program, and she explained how one size does not fit all, and more of our employer-based programs are having a very customized dental plan where, for example, depending on where you score as an individual subscriber, you may actually be benefited for 3 cleanings a year, as well as nutrition counseling and so forth. So I encourage employers out there, if you have Northeast Delta Dental, make sure you understand what the Health Oral Wellness Program is all about. Get your employees involved. And of course, if you're an individual right now, you have the possibility of getting dental insurance is real because you can get it either through healthcare.gov here in New Hampshire or Vermont Health Connect in Vermont, as well as our private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com. But the HOW program is not yet affiliated with our retail product, but one day it will. So for my racing friends, just as a reminder, if you're listening to this on Saturday, there is a race in Barnstead and out and back in Barnstead 5K. And then later on in the day at 3 o'clock, there is the New Hampshire Cross Country Festival that citizen runners can also participate in, and that's at Dairy Field Park, and that's the New Hampshire Cross Country Festival put on by the Mortimore Group, the Millennium Running Group. So with me today, this weekend, August 22nd and 23rd, is Ashley Stokes, who has a very long title, but I'll give it to you. She is the Marine Mammal Rescue Coordinator, Event Coordinator, and Educator. And Sarah Tupin, who is the Marine Mammal Rescue Assistant, Program Registrar, and Outreach Coordinator. Thank you, ladies, for coming in this late August weekend. I'm sure you have better things to do either at your home or at the Seacoast Science Center. So where do you spend more time, your house or the Seacoast Science Center?
It depends on the week and how busy the rescue
hotline is. That's what I thought would be the answer. Too funny. So let's start. So how did you ladies get interested in marine mammal rescue?
We both went to school for marine biology, so we already knew we loved the ocean.
So where did you guys go to school?
I went to University of Rhode Island and graduated in 2005, I guess, a long time ago.
How about you, Ashley?
And I went to the University of New Hampshire and I graduated in 2005.
Wow, you're making me feel really old because I graduated from college in 1978. But that's good that you're actually doing what you were trained to do.
Yes.
So, but did this start when you were little girls and getting really the love of the sea and mammals and so forth?
I had always, growing up, since I saw a little seal on Seabrook Beach when I was really small, I always knew that I wanted to do something in the marine mammal field. Of course, the number one that always came to mind was being a dolphin trainer, but you can imagine those jobs are very, very, very few between and very competitive. So I had kind of fallen out of marine mammal stuff for a little while, or really any kind of the marine biology stuff for a little while, but got back into it when we decided to take on Marine Mammal Rescue January 1st of last year.
Correct. So we'll get into that in a moment. So you went to school in Rhode Island. So did you grow up in New Hampshire? How did this all transpire?
Nope. I grew up in Massachusetts. I was
As
born
did
in
many of us, right?
Yep. and we did summers. We rented a beach house every summer in Seabrook when I was little. So that's where kind of my love of the ocean came
from. So you had a New Hampshire flavor. How about you, Ashley? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in New Hampshire, and then I went to UNH and loved the ocean, thought I would take up marine bio, wasn't exactly sure where the future would take me, But then started volunteering at an interning at the Seacoast Science Center, where then I also volunteered at the New England Aquarium doing marine mammal rescue, because we were located right on the beach. So when the seals were there, we were super close. So that was great. And then when we got the opportunity to take over it in last year, or yeah, 2014, it was just a new fun endeavor for me. And I loved the ocean, loved the seals and whales and dolphins, so was super excited to be a part of it.
Great. Now, you anticipated one of my questions. So as a student at UNH, you were able to intern at the Seacoast Science Center. As chair of the State Board of Ed, we love when these sort of what I call real-life internships, and ultimately you're employed now by where you intern. That must make you feel really good.
Yeah, and I...
And your parents.
Yes. No, I was super lucky to work there my senior year, and then... Shortly after I graduated, there was a job opening. So I was very fortunate, very lucky to kind of get in the door.
And based on all of the research, and this is sort of a generic comment, but internships, real internships are very important to ultimately, you know, where you ultimately, you know, land a job. So we'll get into, I want to know more about what the rescue job is all about. But before I get into that, I just want to give out the website, which is Seacoast Science Center, all one word, .org. That's Seacoast Science Center, one word, .org, and there's a plethora of information. As the listening audience knows, we've had Seacoast Science Center colleagues on, you know, several times before. So why don't Ashley or Sarah or both describe, when you say rescue, what does that really mean?
So we are part of a network. We are part of the Northeast Network, so we go from Maine down the coast to Delaware. And there's a bunch of organizations that do this rescue work. And the reason why we have to do it is because these animals are federally protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972. So what does that mean for us? We run a 24/7 hotline, so it gives people a chance to call and get somebody whenever they spot a live or dead marine mammal. And what kinds of marine mammals do we do? Mostly seals. I'd say 95% of what we do is seals. But we also are responsible for whales, dolphins, and porpoise, if those were to ever come up.
So out of naivete, so if there was a whale, I mean, how would you deal with a big, huge whale,
man,
versus a little
Let's
seal?
Hope that doesn't happen. We have had two minke whales this year, but thankfully they were both offshore. They were both deceased and floating, so it was just a matter of having all of the kind of recreational boats and whale watch boats in the area keep a track on where that animal was going. It never washed up on shore, thank goodness, because that is, as you can probably imagine, a huge endeavor compared to a small little seal.
No pun intended. Now, you said the law was passed in 1972, and coincidentally, Ashley, in last year alone, in 2014, you responded to 72 seals. So
yes.
What a coincidence. So 58 harbor seals, 4 gray seals, 3 harp seals, and 1 hooded seal, and 6 of unknown variety. So can you, I'm really curious, what is a harp seal versus, I don't know, a harbor seal?
Sure. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Sarah?
We have two seals that live here year-round. We have our harbor seals and our gray seals. And those are just, you can distinguish them in size, their coat color, and most specifically their face. All of their face varies in sizes, especially their nose. And then we have two seals that come, they're called ice seals. They're born on ice packs up in the Canadian province, and they're hooded and harp, and they only come down during our winter. And this winter, we had a really great, awesome winter, or most can say miserable, with lots and lots of snow. So we actually had quite a few harp seals this year. We actually had 11 compared to the 3 that we had last year.
So, and based on the research I did, in July of this year alone, you had 32 cases, so that's probably above the norm. So it was due to the harsh winter? Or?
Yeah, so we had a lot more. We saw a lot more ice packs floating, and we had a lot more snow. So we had a high number of harp seals that were reported to the hotline.
And again, this is a question on naivete, but if you find a young seal that's been separated from the mom, I hate to even ask this, but do you try to reconnect the baby with the mother?
That's a great question. So our most common seal, which is the harbor seal, year-round resident of this area, they give birth to their young the end of May through the end of June, really the middle of June. But coincidentally, that's also when us as humans are trying to get out of the house after a long winter and get to the beach. So that's oftentimes not always on purpose, but sometimes indirectly, these pups do get separated from their mom.
Because they're trying to, they're afraid of the human beings, or
sometimes humans try to do the right thing, and they think that the animal needs to get back in the water, so they'll either put it back in the water or dump water on it, or sometimes even just the presence of a human being too close to this young pup will encourage the mom to not come back, and that's when it's good for us to be able to step in, because those are pups that otherwise would not survive on their own. They're only with their mom for about 3 weeks before they're completely independent. So that's a very important 21 days.
Well, 3 weeks, and then they're off and running.
Yeah, so that's when we're very busy, is during the pupping season, and also when they are recently weaned from mom.
So knowing that, how do you try to educate the public that, to some extent, it's probably best just to leave, you know, contact you all, as opposed to trying to do something on their own? So do you have, like, signs and stuff like that? Or?
We do have signs at all of the beach access points on the seacoast. We are working with the state run beach access points right now to get those put up, but they're up at all of the town beach access points, and it just kind of lets people know that it is federal law to stay away from these animals, and it gives them the hotline number so that they know how to reach us if they don't know that we're responsible.
And we have educational programs, so we do outreaches to different schools and libraries in the area, along with Ashley and I go to quite a few facilities just to educate, and we have three important things that we say to do is keep back, call the hotline, and then, of course, if you can, contribute to the program.
Exactly. And I was at the last time I was there, there was the spring 5K race. Mm-hmm. And I spent some time. It's very, very impressive, all the educational stuff. And, of course, as chair of the State Board of Education, I love to see this, because I know you have a lot of high school and student groups there. And, of course, that's, you know, real life learning. And I'm really glad to see it coming to fruition, and it brings a smile to my face that you were internships there and now you're working there. So I'm going to go to break, but before I do, I just want to give out the Seacoast Science Center website. It's seacoastsciencecenter.org, one word. You can get more information on the Marine Mammal Rescue Program, but also become a member. I know that Ashley and Sarah will want me to say that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, we'll return with Ashley and Sarah with Tom Raffio after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me this weekend is Ashley Stokes, who's the Marine Mammal Rescue Coordinator, Event Coordinator, and Educator, and Sarah Tupin, who's the Marine Mammal Rescue Assistant, Program Registrar, and Outreach Coordinator. I want to give out the Seacoast Science Center again, their website, seacoastsciencecenter.org, one word, because I know Ashley and Sarah want to make sure you become a member, because I think we've made you very interested in this. And having been there recently for a 5K road race, I was astounded, because I go at least once a year, that it's always refreshed, new material, new exhibits. It's really cool. So tell us the other aspects of your job. You obviously spend some of your time on the Marine Mammal Rescue, but obviously you coordinate other events. So how does that break down for you guys?
I'm about 80% Marine Mammal Rescue as far as being the coordinator and running the program. But then the other 20 or so percent, and again, it varies depending on the seasonality of the year, I am responsible for all of the Seacoast Science Center fundraising events. So all of the different events that we do to keep us afloat, so to speak. And a lot of those have been around Marine Mammal Rescue.
So I had a great time at the 5K, so I thank you then, right?
Yes.
That was good. I had a good...
That's a fun event.
It was. I love running that, because it's an interesting run, and it's a lot of fun. Sarah, how about you, your time?
So I do 20% of the Marine Mammal Rescue as the assistant, and of course that varies, especially in the summer and early fall. But then 80% of my time, I do all of the educational programs. So all of the school field trips and camp groups that come throughout the summer and year, that is what I do, booking them and then getting programs taught.
So if I'm a high school or middle school principal and I'm listening to this, and this sounds like a field trip ready to happen, who would I call?
So you would call me. Okay. So Sarah Tupin at the Seacoast Science Center, and we have a bunch of different programs, numerous programs on different topics, and one of them is we created a new program, Save a Seal, and you would learn all about the rescue team, and you would actually become a rescuer for the day and do a mock rescue and learn what we would do responding to both live and deceased seals on the beach.
And Sarah, your phone number?
603-436-8043, and I'm extension 20.
So 436-8043, extension 20. Yep. For any educator out there that wants to bring their students, and obviously needs to be coordinated. And again, speaking as a chair of the State Board of Education, this is exactly the real life learning that we like to see. It's also related to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Obviously, you know, the science part of it. So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about, Sarah, maybe you can talk about what's new at the center.
Yeah, so we have some really great new exhibits. We have a new tank that was made this spring, and it's a coral tank. So there's some really cool animals. If you like Finding Nemo, we have some of those fish in the exhibit. And then we also have an exhibit called Making a Difference, and that's all about the ocean health and specifically marine debris and what you can do to help like reduce, reuse, and recycle.
So there's something, maybe Ashley, you can talk about this, something called the Beach Cleanup Station. What exactly is that?
That's an area that kids and adults really can be exposed to what we find on the beaches. It's very easy to visit the beach, not really think a whole lot about what you've done to impact that area, and then you pick up your stuff and you go home. But if you sometimes leave behind something as simple as one bottle or one piece of plastic, and then you multiply that times the number of people that were at the beach that day, how much marine debris we find. And sometimes these animals that are out in the ocean will ingest that marine debris. So we're constantly encouraging people to pick up after themselves. So there's kind of a mock area at that exhibit that you can pick up some of the marine debris or the put in the exhibit marine debris and clean up that little area of beach.
So it's common sense. It's what our mothers said about our homes. Clean up after yourselves, Tommy. Yeah. Got it. Okay, so Ashley, you had mentioned that you're also responsible for fundraising. So I know that there are corporate CEOs out there like me that want to become a Seacoast Science Center sponsor. So how does that work?
Absolutely. We have different levels of corporate giving or corporate sponsorship, and they can either just kind of sponsor the Science Center as a whole if they don't necessarily care where their money's going to, but we also have exhibit-specific sponsors, and we have event-specific sponsors. So if there's anybody out there that is looking to sponsor either the Seacoast Science Center or Marine Mammal Rescue or the school programs, sometimes businesses will pay for a specific school to come on a field trip to the Science Center. They can just reach out to us at the Science Center. Again, that number is 603-436-8043.
And they would talk to you, Ashley?
Nope. For sponsorship opportunities, they would actually talk to our colleague, Nicole, at extension 26.
Great. And it's great if it would kill two birds with one stone if we had a business sponsor, but also hook up with a school.
Absolutely.
Because obviously budgets are being cut in schools, and so the more we can get corporations to sponsor field trips like this, and this is these type of extended learning opportunities, ELOs, real life learning, this is what 21st century learning is about, and I'm really glad to see this. Now, in the fall, I know that there are some upcoming events that you might want to give advance warning to. This is after Labor Day, but I think it's probably good if you spend a few minutes on this.
Sure. Coming up on Friday, September 11th in the evening, and all of these events, you can just go right online to our website and
sign up. So again, that's seacoastcenter.org. Good.
Yep. We have something coming up called Finding Fish, and it's a reading of a play, Finding Fish, a story about sustainability in the Gulf of Maine. And then coming up, we're pretty busy in September. Coming up on Sunday, September 13th, we have a Marine Mammal Rescue specific fundraiser. It's our first time doing it, so it should be a lot of fun. We are going out of Newburyport. We've partnered with the Newburyport Whale Watch. And we're doing a special sunset cruise down the Merrimack River and out to the mouth of the ocean. We're going to be looking for seals out there. We'll see the sunset. There'll be heavy hors d'oeuvres and a bar, so who doesn't like a night out on a boat with some drinks? That is $50 a person, and there will also be a silent auction, so you can win some pretty neat prizes out there.
And that's sort of the Save the Seal events.
It is, and again, that Sunday, September 13th, and It's at 5 o'clock. So you don't want to be late, because if you miss the boat, you can't come out.
You miss the boat, literally. So this is something that I felt really intrigued by. What is the BioBlitz, which is later in September, I think on September 26th?
So I'll actually let Sarah talk about that, because she runs that
okay,
event.
Okay, good. Sarah?
Yeah, so that event is Saturday, September 26th, and it starts bright and early. It's from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's an all-day event where we partner up with local scientists, UNH professors, along with some really great scientists in the area. And we do kind of like an adult scavenger hunt of all of the habitats at the Odeon Point State Park. And we record them and collect data. And it's a ton of fun. We have 6 a.m. birding, so you can go out with some expert birders and check out all of the local species. And then throughout the day, every hour, we do a different topic. So you can come out and tide pool in the afternoon, or if you're interested in looking at mushrooms, we have an expert in that area. Or if you like to go to the pond and catch some fish and some different insect larvae, we do that. Pretty much anything you can think of, we do that.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, and we are family friendly. So we have a bunch of kids that come out also, and the scientists kind of and the experts take you on a walk. One of the most popular is our mammal walk. So we have experts come out and take them, and you go tracking. You look for scat and try to determine what species we have in the park and all the different habitats. And then we collect that data. And for the so far, we've been doing it. It's our 13th year, and we have over 2,000 known species in the park.
Wow. Wow, that's terrific. Now, one thing I want to skip sort of ahead towards the Halloween theme, because last year when we had one of your colleagues on, we talked about this. So on Thursday, October 22nd, you have something called the Spooky Seasonal Family Dinner. That sounds fun. It also sounds a little scary. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So this will be our third year doing the Halloween kind of themed dinner. And it is, again, a family-friendly dinner. We do a pasta-style buffet dinner. And then after dinner, we all eat together. But after dinner, the kids are separated from the parents. The adults will go into our learning studio and have an adult presentation. And then the children will learn something a little bit similar to the adults, but do a fun craft along with that. And I can't release the speaker yet because it's not confirmed. But it is a lot of fun, and we've sold out the last 2 years.
Yes, I was just going to say that. It's been selling out, so you definitely want to go on SeacoastScienceCenter.org and not only become a member, but get a ticket for that event. And I think this is just really terrific. I'm so glad I've had you ladies this weekend, because next weekend's show is going to be focused on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And to me, one of the answers to getting more STEM literate, you know, children and then adults, this is what I call real life, you know, science learning. So I think this, you all are doing some terrific work. In the little time we have left, I just want to promote the fact that you do have something called, we only have about a minute, Big Fish, Little Fish, and Family Wise Walk. So why don't you just, in 30 seconds for each, tell us about that.
All right, well, I'll touch base on Big Fish, Little Fish, because I teach the program. It's every Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:45. And it's a nature-based learning, so for the hour and 15 minutes, you're going to be out in nature learning about different topics. And you can go online at theseacoastsciencecenter.org on the website under the calendar, and every week's a different theme, and it's posted online.
And the family-wise walks?
Yep, so that's very similar, but it's more family-based. Big Fish, Little Fish is for ages 2 to 5 and a favorite adult. Your family-wise walks for kids of all ages and families. And that's another nature-based program that you'll be out hiking. And that's every third Saturday of the month at 1:30.
And we didn't have time to cover it, but there was also summer camp this year. So really, everybody, you've got to get out to the Seacoast, theseacoastsciencecenter.org. Ashley and Sarah, thank you for joining me this mid-August. And I want to make sure that corporate sponsors link up to a school. Just go on the SeacoastScienceCenter.org website or call 436-8043. Ashley and Sarah, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
We'll have you back. There's more to come. Tom Raffio will return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.